The following is a presentation of the Ed Boston Podcast Network.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Ed Boston Podcast today. We're privileged to have a guest with us, Jim Gibson. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Thank you, Ed. It's nice to be here.
Let's kind of just get right down to where we're going today. A little background. You were an executive with Donald Trump back years ago. And, just kind of take it from there. You know what we want to talk about today.
I do. It's like anything in life, Ed, and I'm sure you hear it every day when you're interviewing people. It's never a straight road. It's a lot of winding curves. But the short of it is I was the guy that for decades hosted all of the telecasts for Miss Universe USA and Team USA at their state levels and a few at their international levels. So through a time period when I was working in New York and doing these types of things, Ed, I came across who I would call Donald Trump, now President Trump, through some mutual friends. My first meeting with him was through the NFL quarterback the name Jim Kelly, who's the Hall of Fame quarterback in Buffalo. So through a period of time, I got to meet now President Trump, become somewhat friends and then better friends. And in that process, Ed, I knew Miss Universe was coming up for sale, and we discussed that, had some meetings. It was a lot of negotiating, a lot of people involved in that. But I was part of that process that brought Miss Universe to Donald Trump when he purchased it in 1997. And at that point, I would be considered an executive when he made me his director of pageant affairs, and I oversaw a lot of the business side on his behalf.
Now, at the behest of President Trump, you had a meeting in California with CBS and Les Moonves. Kind of an eye-opener, wasn't it, Jim?
You know, it was. I'm a Midwest guy, kind of like you. You're in Indiana. I was brought up in the cornfields of Illinois, and once I became more involved in the entertainment world, whether it be a musician or television side, it, of course, brought me to both coasts. And I was well aware of the clear differences on how they viewed not only life, but people, different types of people, different geographical areas. So when Mr. Trump bought Miss Universe, one of the things that we discussed was that what direction do we want to go? If you read his book, The Art of the Comeback, he talks about that a little bit in his book. You got to remember, Ed, when I met him, he was at his very lowest. Even in his book, he would say he was billions of dollars in debt. He was personally guaranteed to almost $1 billion of debt. So it was in that process of his comeback, of which Miss Universe was part of that. So, that being said, when we bought it, he knew I was very, not we bought it, when he bought it, he knew my long affiliation. I knew that business very well. I knew the good parts about it, and I knew the bad parts about the business. You know, one of my favorite stories, Ed, is in Ohio, a young African-American girl that was 14 years old, I met for the first time and crowned her. And then later, when she was 19 years old, I crowned her again, Miss Ohio. And that young lady was Halle Berry. Mm-hmm. There are many stories throughout the pageant world of it being a stepping stone to help young women achieve their goals. My wife is another one. She paid for most of her dental school through pageantry. So I was a big proponent of pageants as a stepping stone, as a helping process for young women, not just, you know, the model world, but just in life. And as I've always said, pageantry is not for everyone any more than playing football is for every kid. It's for some, and those that use it properly, it's a great tool. So when I met with Donald, we chatted about that. I told him about how important this was for the Midwest, for the South. You know, if you're born in New York or L.A. or Miami or Las Vegas and your goal is to get into the entertainment world, it's a much easier road than if you're born in Ottawa, Illinois, for example, where I was born, or Des Moines, Iowa, or Tuscaloosa, Alabama. So when we finished our conversation, he agreed with me. Hey, let's try to keep this thing a grassroots, wonderful opportunity for young women. However, he says, Jim, my partner in this is a guy named Les Moonves, who, of course, I knew, the president of CBS Television, the most powerful man in television until just a year ago when he was released by CBS. So he says, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to get on the plane in New York where I was. I need you to fly to L.A. I'll set up the meeting. Let's have this conversation with Mr. Moonves and the CBS executives about how we envision the future of Miss Universe, Miss USA, and Miss Teen USA. So I kind of naively got on the plane, Ed. I'm flying out thinking this is going to be a really a great meeting, of a conversation where we can kind of work together. And I did sit down, and Mr. Moonves was very polite, very nice, very professional, nothing wrong. But I was about 10 minutes into my conversation with Mr. Moonves, and he stopped me. And he kind of said, Jim, I got to be honest with you, because I'm telling him, you know, this Midwest. He goes, I'll be honest with you. We really don't care much about the Midwest. We, and our demographics, the way we work in my television business, we really care about both coasts, that demographic area, highly populated area. So in other words, as nice as your talk is, it really means nothing to us. And kind of with the sweep of his hand in a professional way, he basically said, we're not going that direction, which paralleled, Ed, very much with what we heard Bill Maher say on HBO 10 days ago. And of those who have probably not heard it, you know, it was atrocious. He called us the flyover state. He kind of made fun of us. One of his quotes that kind of summed up exactly maybe what Les Moonves was talking about when Bill said, quote, there are two Americas, and it seems that one is where all the cool jobs are, where people drive Teslas and eat artisanal ice cream. We have orchestras and theater districts and world-class shopping. We have Wolfgang Puck, and they have Chef Boyardee. Now, he's talking about you and me.
That's right.
He's talking about what he called the flyover states, all of us in between both of those powerful coasts. So when I heard Bill say that, it just reminded me nothing has really changed. They really look at the world quite differently than those of us in the Midwest or the Bible Belt or whatever we want to call us out here. And it was upsetting to me because I'm very proud of who we are. And quite frankly, Bill went on to say, you know, they just all want to be us. They all want to go to the cool parties. They want to. I don't want to be like Bill.
No.
Maher. I have no interest in that. And, you know, a lot of people, even in the entertainment business, Bill, don't want that because we've seen it and we see the shallowness of it.
You know, I've talked to people on this program from in the entertainment business and people like what you just described that don't want to be part of that and want to have the good things that we in the Midwest would consider everyday life. Bill Maher would probably know nothing about going to a local place and having a breaded tenderloin. You know, Indiana is famous for breaded tenderloin. He'd know nothing about going to a little hole-in-the-wall place about 10 miles from where I live called The Brick and having one of their famous brick burgers. And but that makes people around here happy. My mother-in-law the other day was talking to my wife and said, we're going to The Brick tonight. And, you know, it's not just food. It's basketball games, not, you know, the New York Knicks or the L.A. Lakers, but the local high school team that everybody supports and gets behind. That's kind of the Midwest, isn't it?
You know, it really is. You know, one of the things that let me just say this, my father was a World War II decorated pilot, and my mother was born in Montana, basically in a pile of dirt. And they worked their way through the Great Depression. And he went to school on the GI Bill, and they chose to live in Illinois. And I'm very proud. And my father grew up on a hog farm in Indiana. And I'm very proud of that. I'm proud of the work ethic. I'm proud of almost the handshake is as good as a contract. Mm-hmm. So when I You know, Bill, I was on, I don't know if you remember the show Start. I've done a lot of things. I started out in the entertainment singing. I was on Star Search. I was one of their finalist winners. I was in the band of B.J. Thomas that had the hit Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. Of course, the Bill Gaither Trio, another great Indiana gospel group. Good friends of mine, Bill and Gloria. And at that time, it was Danny, who since has passed away. I traveled with them for 3 years. And so, I mean, that... I was so fortunate to have that ground into my soul as then when I moved to New York or when I'm working in L.A. with, you know, Pat Sajak and Alex Trudeau and these different people shooting game show pilots or singing, you know, at supper clubs in New York. I always had, you know, that anchor of Christianity, but even more so just the good part of America that I so enjoyed. And so for that reason, I always kept my Illinois driver's license. I always knew someday, even though I was gone for decades, I'd end up back here. And when I got married, I told my wife, who was living in Boston, let's go back to the Midwest where I grew up. And I think it's a great place for us to have a solid marriage. It's a great place for us to have a child. We have an 11-year-old little boy. And he goes to a great Christian school here in Aurora. And so that was just always important to me. So you're right. The little greasy spoons, mine was called the wooden shoe. And it's just such a beautiful part. You know, I remember Gloria Gaither once said on stage when I was, she goes, you know, it's the little things that always make life great, not the big things. It's always the little things. And if you lose that, little things are no longer important, well, then I think that's a winding road probably to where, you know, the Bill Maher's end up. I don't know. But that's just not a place I wanted to end up. So I agree with you. I think it's a beautiful part of Americana. And to be honest with you, you know, back to President Trump, when we met, he was interested in the Midwest. He was interested in this Who is America thing because at that time, you know, he was Mr. New York. He owned a zillion things in New York. He had been on Saturday Night Live. But a lot of people really didn't get to see him. Now, this was, of course, 20-plus years ago. And so in that process, with Miss Universe, got him on TV, got him over to NBC, got him The Apprentice, it really opened up his world a lot more to how America really is, other than just from a New York viewpoint. And a lot of his politics have changed drastically, whether you like him or not. He does believe and agree with a lot of the things we in the Midwest cherish. And I would say that wasn't perhaps always the case. But I think, and of course, it was the Midwest that, of course, helped him become elected president. Not that that's the most important thing in life, but at least that Midwest virtue is something that even the President of the United States really did want to know more about.
Well, and we talk about the Midwest, and we're both proud of where we're from, but I think when you look at what Moonves and Maher talked about, you know, the coasts and those things, I think in our camp on that, we can look at the South, we can look at the upper Midwest with Wisconsin, and you mentioned Montana, I believe, and I think that we all have something in common there, that we're not the East Coast and we're not the West Coast, and we don't want to be.
Well, and the reason why, you know, again, I was able to be and meet, meet a lot of famous people. I've had dinner with Frank Sinatra in New York. I mean, I've met a lot of very famous and some very wealthy, including our president, people. And when I was growing up, I never prayed to be smart. I just prayed to make wise decisions. And my prayers were answered because I'm not smart. But I think for the most part, I've made some wise decisions. It's just very true. I could see, you know, it was interesting when I was in L.A., which, by the way, is the most cutthroat place on the planet. And And people would come up to me that I used to watch on television growing up on some of the sitcoms and stuff. And they're coming to me and say, hey, would you do me a favor, you know, give my name to this guy. Or, you know, I'm looking for a little bit of work. And I'm just looking at this going, wow. Very tough business. Very cutthroat business. You really, who's your friend? I don't know. But it's that, which brings me back to the Midwest. I just feel like the Midwest for me, and I notice the difference, you know, just coming back, it's just, I don't know, maybe it's more forgiving. It's more family. It's just more what works for my life. And I believe most people's lives, Bill, but, you know, we get caught up in the, Ed, we get caught up in the rat race of life, and it's, if we're not careful, it ends up in a place we just don't want to be. So with the Les Moonves and the Bill Maher's, it just reminded me really of a world out there that I don't want them for me making my decisions. And I guess that's what it comes down to now with our voting and with our stances, whether it's abortion rights or whatever it is we're determining our the world we want to live in. And we have to really think this thing through because our world is going very fast in a crazy direction.
It certainly is. Now, while you were talking, I pulled up a map of Illinois. I wasn't sure exactly where Ottawa was, but actually, I spent a couple of years in Illinois, and it wasn't that far from Ottawa. I was a district manager for a convenience store company that bought a district over in Peoria and Bloomington, and I lived in a little town called Eureka. And Eureka is famous for where Ronald Reagan went to college.
That's exactly right.
And so Ottawa looks like it's directly north of Bloomington and not that far away. You mentioned something about your father being a pig farmer in Indiana. Well, when I lived in Eureka, my family and I, we leased a farmhouse, and on the property, strangely enough, was a hog farm.
Well, it's he always his family didn't agree, but he always loved the good smell of a hog farm when we would drive through the country in later life. So hey, by the way, interesting that you mentioned Reagan, because I don't know if you know, I performed for President Reagan at the Congressional Ball in the White House.
Oh, wow.
In 1986. And actually, if you Google my name, Jim Gibson, Ronald Reagan, you can pull up pictures of me with President. By the way, my most famous, favorite person ever to meet. Just an amazing, amazing man and his wife. And there's a picture of me out there, and I'm chatting with him in the White House. And it was so cool, Ed, because you know what he talked about when he got to me? He talked about the Midwest. And I mentioned I was born in Ottawa, Illinois. And he goes, oh, Jim. He goes, I did some radio broadcast down there in Ottawa for the high school football games, and his eyes just lit up. You know, here's a guy that was the president and a movie star, still very, very proud and great memories of his time in the Midwest of Illinois. So he's just really, of all the people I've met, I just wish I could live that day over again when we had a chance to meet and chat.
Well, we obviously are a kindred spirit here. President Reagan is my favorite politician ever. He was my commander in chief when I was in the military, and I could talk. Well, I've got a large picture in my office in there of Ronald Reagan. So we could talk a long time, I'm sure, about that topic, and what a good person and a good man that he was, and the Midwestern roots as well.
Yeah, he was special. I mean, again, you're very fortunate to be under such a man. He was just, I don't know, there, whatever that it factor is, Ed, and it's not just charm, and it's not just you're slick and you know what to say. It's, I don't know if it's a gift from God, but this guy just had it. And I think he was very real. Maybe that's what made his it factor so special. He was who he said he was. And I didn't want to change. He was happy with who he was. And, of course, he was, in my opinion, along with what you just said, probably my favorite, of course, president ever. Just amazing.
Give us something to think about as we close out here, Jim.
You know, Ed, I have an 11-year-old son. I got married a little later in life. It's my only child. So I look at life very, very different now than I did when I was singing on Star Search or having dinner with Frank Sinatra or all the above. I really have a burden for not me, not just my son, but really where America is headed. And it concerns me, Ed. It's podcasts like yourself that I think help people stay focused, keep the faith, get on their knees and pray. Mm-hmm. And I would just say that is really why I'm on this conversation today. I would just encourage, I have been in the White House many times and lived on Capitol Hill actually for 14 years. And the world needs a direction right now. And the direction that I see scares me, but I know who our Creator is, and I know that He hears our prayers. And if we humble ourselves, He will answer them.
Oh, wow. Well, you've referenced Scripture probably even more than you realize. Earlier you said that you prayed for wisdom, and the Scripture tells us that if we ask for wisdom from God, that He will provide it. You just about quoted one of my favorite verses just now, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people will call on my name, and goes on to say, I will heal their land. And wow, I've totally enjoyed our time together.
I did too.
Well, let me pray with you, and we'll take care of the end here.
Yep.
Father, I thank you for my new friend, Jim, and just thank you for what he represents as a human being. Father, our country, as he mentioned, is going in directions that concern many of us very deeply. And Father, we're proud of our Midwest heritage, but not just that. We're proud of the morals and the goodness of this country, and in particular where we come from. So I ask that you would bless Jim and his wife and his son, and protect them and keep them in your arms and in your love. Father, I pray that you would be with Jim in his professional life and bless him. I appreciate, Father, the way he referenced Scripture today, not in an open way to say, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, but just in his talk. And Father, that is so refreshing, reassuring that America is a place that loves you. Father, I just pray that this program today will come off in a manner that gives people hope. Hope in you, first of all, Father, and hope that America was built in a certain way, and that we can be the country that we've been throughout our history. We thank you again for the friendship, and we just ask a blessing upon this program. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Oh, I thought you was going to say something there.
No, I just said amen and amen. Thank you, Ed. It was a real treat for me. I don't get a chance to do these types of podcasts too often. I really enjoyed your spirit and giving me a chance to share mine.
All right, folks. That's today's interview here on the Ed Boston Podcast Network. Want to thank you for being a part of what we do here. Want to encourage you to look us up at edboston.com. While you're there, you can find our Facebook page, our Twitter account. It's got all the different places that you can listen to the Ed Boston Podcast at. And we want you to go to the Ed Boston Podcast YouTube page. Subscribe there. We put a lot of things up from the podcast there as well. Sermons are there. We just would love for you to be a part of what we do in all of our different areas of social media. If you've been blessed by today's program, contact us. You can reach us through the edboston.com website there. Go to contact. It'll say
please use the information below to easily contact me, Ed Boston. It asks for your name, your email address, the comment that you would like to put, whether it be feedback on the podcast, learn about Jesus, a media inquiry, or book me for an event. That is the best way to reach me. We would love to hear your feedback on this program or any other concern that you have. We thank you again for being with us. God bless you, and go out and do the right thing.